The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The earth, the inhabited world, they were God rejecting openly, publicly, not just sinners, but corrupt. Have you ever thought about what keeps you from sinning? Let's just take, for instance, there is no God. You don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about falling in the hands of a living God. You see, that's the boundary. That's what makes me. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's where the boundaries are.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for the fear of the Lord, I'd probably be a murderer. There's been a few people that I have to admit, I'd just soon shoot them and rather than put up with them. I take matters in my own hands. I say, the heck with vengeance is mine, I'll ever pay. I say, I'll take care of this myself. I go over and knock somebody's head off. But God set things up differently. And the fear of the Lord is health. Fear of the Lord is plain. Fear of the Lord is something we need. That's why Cain killed his brother Abel. He didn't know nothing about the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord sets boundaries up. And without that fear of the Lord, the earth's going to be filled with violence. Nobody's going to think twice about doing something.
Brother Wade, yeah. Nowadays, we're not allowed to put the fear in our children of us.
That's true. The Bible said a child left its own to bring its mother shame.
And that, I'm talking about respectful fear, not a mean fear, if you can't get the fear of your parent in there, of a respectful authority, you sure not going to fear God. And that's what a whole lot of the nation has turned over to.
You see, they want to do away with God, and yet they need Him so badly.
Exactly.
They want to make laws contrary to God. You see, you can't have freedom from religion and freedom of religion. They can't coexist. How can someone come up to me and say, you're infringing on my freedom from religion, when I'm supposed to have freedom of religion? So we become a heathenistic nation because we didn't adhere to what made this nation. Listen, if this nation is so great, and it is so great, what made it so great? Why didn't someone else found America? Why did Columbus sail for the furtherance of the gospel? Why did God give this land to him so churches could be built, so preachers could preach, and souls could be saved? I'll tell you why. Every single missionary come from America. Through America, God has evangelized this world. Take it or leave it. God's interested in humanity. He's tried to save humanity. But the way I look at it, boy, God's got his hands full doing it. Amen? But the world, and even today, and even then, was filled with violence. The earth, the inhabited world, were openly and publicly corrupt. They were fragrant. They were God haters. They wanted to do what they wanted to without anybody saying anything against it. Somebody said, I want to go to a church where I feel comfortable. You need to go to a church where you feel uncomfortable so you might get right with God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
You need to go somewhere where at least the preacher will preach what needs to be preached and the way it needs to be preached, so you'll think about what you're doing, the consequence of your action, because one day, whether you feel comfortable about it or not, you're going to meet God. Amen? And when you meet God, you're going to wish you'd listen to someone that tried to warn you about what it was going to be like. Amen? But all manners of violence were not just manifested, but there were giants also in this day. Men of extraordinary stature and physical strength. And they proceeded from intermarriages, mingling, interracial marriages. Somebody said, how do you feel about it? I said, well, I believe that we ought to marry of our own. And if somebody does interracially marriage, I'm going to love them. I'm going to try to help them. But it's not always the right thing. Somebody said, well, we don't have no problem. What about your children? They might have a hard time fitting in. Maybe the world looks upon them a different way because they're mingled. And the blacks don't like them no more, and the whites don't like them, and now, so maybe one of these days we'll all get gray. They think that'll make world peace. I don't think so. But in this case here, they had intermarriages between the sons of God and the race of Seth. And that caused it to be even more wickedness. That wickedness kept getting great. And the ever imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. Verse number 5. I just want you to know, men condescended down to where we're at in this lesson today. And the reason they did is because they went away from God and started doing that which was right in their own eyes. And in the eyes of man, it looked right, but it didn't work right. That's where we're kind of trying to live today. Verse 12 says, "And God looked upon the earth." I'm glad God looks down from time to time. God looked down, saw the problem. And the problem was, mentioned here in verse 12, "Behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." God knew what man needed to do. God knew what would work. But man thought he knew more than God, thought he knew better than God. And man said, "I'll tell you what, we don't have to go God's way. We can go this way and boy, we'll be happy. We'll have world peace. We'll have all of this." Well, this is a good lesson about that. God looked down and the world was corrupt. And the reason it was corrupt, because it had corrupted His way upon the earth. God knows what needs. And He knows what's needed. Matter of fact, God knows all. He's looking upon the earth, denotes a special observance of it. His observance of it was very corrupt. All flesh had become corrupt. They'd reached a state of spiritual degeneracy. You go ahead and promote hell and degenerate. You go ahead and marry same-sex couples. You go ahead. You'll see one day, like they did here in Noah's day, that man's morals, man's conduct, without the help of God, will be corrupted. But God said in verse 13, God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for all the earth is filled with violence through them." Now, if you ever figure out who them is, you know what this lesson is trying to address. And God said, "Behold, I." You want to know who destroyed them? You read your Bible, you'll find out God said, "I kill. I'll make alive." He said, "I will destroy them with the earth." God put forth effort to rid the earth of this corruptness. And the whole human race had become so corrupted that God declared, "The end of all flesh has come up before me." But here's one man named Noah that found grace. And God desires for men to be good. Matter of fact, all God's ever asked us to do, all the commandments are summed up in two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. First four commandments. If you love God, you'll keep them first four. The next six, if you love your neighbor, you'll keep them six. That's your ten commandments summed up in two. God had him, gave man everything he needed to live right. God had also implemented measures to keep evil from and sin from causing destruction. And yet, with all of that, here it is, worst case scenario. The Bible said God sent His Spirit to strive with men, but they resisted the Spirit. You remember Stephen preached that great message there in Acts chapter number 7, I believe it was. The Bible said they resisted it and they run upon Him one accord and stoned Him. He asked God not to lay that sin to their charge. But God gave this sentence of destruction. But being gracious, He allowed 120 years before He did destroy mankind. And during that 120 years, He sent a preacher, Noah, to preach righteousness to the world. While Noah's preaching, he's working. And he's working on an ark. I've often thought, and I can't prove this with the Bible, but that ark pictures the church. And I wonder how many people come in there and sit down on the beams of that ark and said, Noah, what's this flood you're telling is coming? What about this flood that you said is coming? Where is it at? The Bible said they scoffed. And where's the promise of this flood? And I guess a lot of that goes on today, but people maybe come in there and sit up on the beams of that ark and make fun of this preacher and his sons as they built this ark. And I guess today they make fun of the church today like they did the ark. The only safe place I know is the church. The only thing that's going to make it through the destruction coming upon this world is the church. And the only thing made it through destruction that come upon the world in Noah's day was those in the ark, 8 souls. But Noah preached and forewarned them to flee the wrath to come. And men, Brother Vernon, we preach to flee the wrath to come. And our efforts, like Noah's, they fail. We preach. We try to warn people. We try to tell them. But as did Noah, so do we. There was only one thing that ended up left to do, and that's the whole world was destroyed and only 8 people survived. Maybe the odds are going to be close to that today. I don't know. But God told Noah to make an ark. He told him what to make it out of. He said, make an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. He was told how to make it. Verse 15, God said, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. God didn't just tell him what to make it out of. He told him what size to make it, and the first cruise ship was made. The cubic is the length of the arm from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger, and the measure varies upon the size of the individual, but it's around 18 inches somewhere in that ballpark. Thus, the ark was 450 feet long, 75 feet broad, and 45 feet in height, and the cubic contents that the ark could carry was about 38,000 tons. And the square footage would be 1,518,750 feet. 40 cubic feet per ton would allow it to carry this tonnage. In this ark, God told him to make a window shall thou make to the ark, and a cubic shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark, thou shalt set it in the side thereof, with the lower, second, third stories shall thou make it. That kind of pictures Christ. Had a wound in his side. And that door is the one that the Bible said God shut that door. One day God's going to shut the door of the church and there's not going to be anybody else get in. It's kind of like that parable of the 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish, and 5 left behind. Verse 17, God said, and behold, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now you can take it, or you can leave it. I'll tell you one thing, they found out God was right and they was wrong. The fact of this flood is found universal all throughout the world. All races pointed to this flood. And there is archaeological evidence in the books of India. The American Indians, the Chaldeans have legends on it of the tablets of the Great Stone Library. And it's kind of like Paul told King Agrippa, this thing wasn't done in a corner. I mean, there's too much evidence. It's overwhelming about this flood. By the way, all them dinosaurs they find, they're all just kind of stuffed together. like the product of a flood. They found fossilized fish up on top of Mount Ararat. But, you know, this is a fable, you know. Let's not give too much thought to it. Just brush it off. God left overwhelming evidence of what He'd done here. There is scientific proof that this Bible account, this flood, happened. God said in verse number 18, "But with thee," talking about Noah, "will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy son's wife with thee." This covenant God made with Noah was that He would save Noah and his family from the destruction of this flood. That's on the fact that they build this ark and go into this ark. God's made a covenant with you. He made it through His Son Jesus. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. Verse 19, God told Noah, "And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." Then I'm glad that the Bible is specific. To preserve and promote life needs to be male and female. Here, necessary orders were given concerning the animals to live through this flood that Noah was to bring in the ark. Verse 20 says, "Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind." No intermingling there. "Of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive." The unclean beast were preserved in this ark. God's tender mercies were manifested in this ark. The clean beast, God told them to take by seven. They were to sacrifice to God. Therefore, more of them were preserved. That's mentioned in chapter number 8, verse 20, about sacrificing those clean beasts. Verse 21, "And take thou unto thee of all food as eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Noah was to gather the food necessary for these animals. Verse 22 is the best verse of this whole lesson. Verse 22 said, "Thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him, so did he." 120 years he built this ark. He preached righteousness to this sinful generation. And he did it by the Spirit of Christ. He preached the doctrine of repentance. He preached. And today we need to preach. We need to seek to do all that God tells us to do to the saving of our own household. And I'll tell you right now, just like it was in Noah's day, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Brother Wayne,
yeah. Yeah, Moses wrote the first four books of the Bible. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. One of his wives was, you're right, yeah. Yeah, she was a Canaanite's wife, and for that reason, Aaron and Miriam confronted him about that. And God smote Miriam with leprosy. Now, I don't know if God took up for him because of the wife or because they were confronting him, but I'll tell you one thing for a fact. God smote Miriam with leprosy, white as snow from her head to her foot. What God said about Miriam, we'll take heed. He said she wasn't properly disciplined. And He came down and intervened in this conversation. All right. We'll stop right there. That's good.